Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted to have you on board with us. Let me remind you early on that you can join in the dialogue and discussion by simply dialing 401-1413. If you're out of the area code, that's 904-401-1413. Delighted to have your input with this discussion today. As we discuss these issues daily, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Many people try to resolve issues based on some denominational ideological dogma. Some try to do so based on a philosophical, irrational, circular reasoning. But we believe as Christians, central biblicists, that we need to go by what the Word of God says. As we look at the Scripture, we understand that Jesus told His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what He stated to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus made a very definitive statement about the Word of God in John 17:17. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we search for truth simply in the confines of what the Word of God says. It's not a book that occasionally you find truth. It's a book of truth. It is the totality of truth from the Word of God. So I pray that you'll be basing your determinations and decisions as you face issues each day based on the Word of God. You'd be surprised at the number of people I've talked with down through the years that try to come up with a rational or irrational reasoning behind their decisions and their thought processes, but it's not founded on the Word of God. There's nothing any more stable, nothing any more solid, nothing any more sure than the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today. I'm just simply using a very simplistic title, Tragedy in Jacksonville. And I think we all recognize that from Raines High School with the shooting at the football game, Raines and Lee High School. A student was killed. The one that did the shooting, the perpetrator of the crime, is still, I believe, being sought after by the Jacksonville Sheriff's Department and other law enforcement agencies. All of us have witnessed the tragic aftermath, ladies and gentlemen, of what is being called mass shooting here in Jacksonville. It's hit all of the national news, of course, Fox News being one of them. And all of these situations we have also listened to, and this is where I'm going in this dialogue and discussion today as a major component of the discussion. After this tragic event at the Landing here in Jacksonville, we listened to and have to tolerate some of our politicals on the left, some of our politicians on the left, that are demanding gun control. I find it a little egregious when immediately after an event this tragic, immediately after an event that we, for the most part at the early stages, do not know anything about, that you immediately jump to the conclusion that we need to in some way obfuscate or take away or ban our Second Amendment right, which is to keep and to carry a weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, we all must pray. Listen, I'm not trying to put aside the danger and the seriousness of this situation. We need to pray for the families, ladies and gentlemen, of the two that were slain, and I believe it was 11 others injured. One just, and I'm not trying to minimize it, one had a bullet shot into his thumb. But we need to pray for these families. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, none of these that were injured were from Jacksonville. Those that were killed, I'm sorry, that were from Jacksonville. They're from out of state and out of town. That does not minusculize or minimize the horror of this tragic situation. The carnage at the Jacksonville landing, ladies and gentlemen, took place yesterday, Sunday, approximately 1 o'clock, a few minutes thereafter. But may I say, any death, or injury, or carnage as this type by any person is always a sad indication, ladies and gentlemen, of the low level in our society. It's a sad indication of the lack of values and morals. It's a sad indication of the lack of recognizing the value of life. We're all created in the image of God. Therefore, life is valuable, regardless of whose life or what life. And I'm disenchanted with and in disfavor of anybody that will talk about Black Lives Matters or other lives matters. All lives matter. If you want to get me upset, you want to get me riled up, talk about Black Lives Matter that's operated and carried out by three Marxist women that are socialist, Marxist, Leninist mindset with the rules of radicals by Saul Alinsky being carried out. But that's another story for another day, another issue. But the point that I'm trying to make today is, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a tragic situation in our city, and we need to recognize the cause and the effect, and need to talk about what can be done, if anything, to try to prevent it. The first thing we heard from the Parkland shooting down in the school just a few months back, about a year back now, was that we need to ban guns and we need to do something to stop this, quote, so that it will never happen again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an ironic, unusual statement, because that is simply not going to be the case as long as we have live, breathing human beings on planet Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted today to have with us on Let's Face the Issues broadcast today, Don Redman. Don is the candidate for Group 4 at Large, city council member here in Jacksonville. By the way, Brother Don served as a councilman in Jacksonville for 8 years, and it's been out for several years now, and is running for Group 4 at Large, city councilman. Don, I'm delighted to have you with us today. Thank you for taking your time out of a busy schedule to come. And I want us to focus our attention a little bit later on this tragic situation and what happened at the landing downtown and the recent tragedy of one being killed at the Raines and Lee High School football game. But first of all, before we get into that discussion, tell our listeners who you are. Tell them something about you. Tell them about why do you want to run for political office, Don? I believe our listeners need to hear that. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, because I want you to understand that we need people like Don Redman in city council. We need people to have moral, ethical, biblical backbone that will stand for the issues and will make right decisions for us in that place of leadership. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm a little bit weary with these mealy-mouthed, spineless leaders that will come to the plate and, as this tragedy, immediately say, we need to confiscate guns. Don, tell us something about your background, something about what you're doing, and touch on a little bit of what people can do to get you back in office as a city councilman.
Thank you, Pastor Youngblood, and thank you for the opportunity to be here on radio with you today. I did serve 8 years as a district city council person. I am running as an at-large council person, at-large group 4. That's citywide. Everybody in the city of Jacksonville can vote for me. I am a strong advocate for godly principles. I have fought very hard against the so-called human rights ordinance that gave the homosexual community special rights. I fought to preserve the right to pray in the city council meetings. I was the chaplain for 2 years. I was threatened to be sued by the ACLU, and had people say, well, you know, you're not supposed to do that. Well, you know, if you're going to ask me to pray, I'm a Christian, you know, and I'm going to pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's you know, if I asked a Buddhist to pray, I would expect him to pray to Buddha or whoever he prays to. But don't tell me that I can't pray in Jesus' name. I have been known to take a strong stand on issues that I feel are right. I believe that biblical issues, God gave us this plan through his Bible that we are to go by. You know, when we were fighting the homosexual issue, reporters would come to me and say, Don, have you changed your mind? I say, well, no, God's word has not changed, and I will not change. So, you know, we need people on the city council that are not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand against spending money improperly. When we put $48 million towards the Jumbotron for the Shad Khan, I was the only council person to vote against that. I just could not see reasoning to put $48 million of the taxpayers' money on the Jumbotron and a swimming pool. It just did not make sense to me. And issues like that, moral issues, and the issue of the shootings and young people that are going astray. I was at a football game Friday night myself, a different one from the where the shooting took place. But when you look at the young people that are running around, the way they talk, the language they use, you know, you take God out of our schools, you take God out of our government, out of our lives, and what have you got? You got no morality. You know, people might realize that, hey, this might be against the law, but, you know, Joe down here, he's breaking the law. We'll look at him driving too fast or what have you. Everybody breaks the law, but they have no idea that there is a moral compass that God has given us, to go by. And we have a generation of people out here that may never see the Bible. They don't see the Bible in school. They don't see their parents praying. They may not even see their parents. And, you know, so we have a moral issue. And you can talk about guns all you want to. Look at Chicago, the most had worst or the strongest gun laws in the country, and more shootings than any city in the United States. You could, you know, take a person's gun away, but he would find another way to kill somebody if he doesn't have the moral respect for human life. So, it's a moral issue.
Absolutely. And you touched on Chicago. In fact, we find Chicago and Baltimore and other major cities across America that have a major devastating problem with shootings and with deaths and with robberies, rapes, and burglaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of them. Have been under control 40, 50, 60 years of the Democrats. And yet we hear those same Democrats talking about we need to get the federal government some federal funds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they blame it on outside sources, not inside leadership problems. Don, we think about the tragedy that took place in our city at the Landing downtown. And let's link that and couple that in our conversation with the shooting at Lee High School and Raines, where they were having a football game on last Friday evening, and one was killed. The perpetrator is still being sought. He's not been found yet. He's not been apprehended. But when we think about this and the Landing, that was by a 24-year-old man, young man from Baltimore, 24 years old, David Katz, K-A-T-Z. Don, tell us today what you feel is the cause of this tragedy. What should our city council do, if anything, if you're elected, when you go in office? Maybe I shouldn't say if you're elected, when you're elected. Always like the positive strand on that.
Right.
When you're elected and are seated as city councilman, and let's just do some assumptions, a hypothetical scenario, because these things are not going to stop. As long as we have human beings with a wicked heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, who can know it? And so it's not going to stop as long as we have wicked human beings on planet Earth. But tell us, and I'm saying that because I'm getting to a point of what some politicians said immediately after that tragic event yesterday. What, in your opinion, in view of these circumstances, the football shooting and the Landing shooting down at the shopping center downtown, what do you feel, if anything, should city council do that you think could stop these things?
Well, I think by looking at taking people's guns away is not going to solve the problem. The 8 years that I was on the city council, the core area downtown was part of my district. So I would ride my bike around downtown and talk with people on a daily basis, on a regular basis. I've talked to the homeless people. I've talked to the people walking around downtown, trying to figure out where they were going, lost people looking for different locations. we probably do need more on foot police protection downtown to help bystanders to not be accosted by the homeless people, not be not to feel safe. So, you know, actually downtown, the core area downtown has less crime than any other part of the city. People see the homeless people downtown and they're afraid of them because they ask for money, but most of them are harmless.
Harmless.
They just they need help. We have a problem with mental illness. Most of these people, if you talk to them, you'll find, and it doesn't take long to realize that most of them have a mental problem. Some of them caused by drinking, some of them drugs, but the problem ends up being a mental problem, that and they need help. But to say that, you know, taking guns away from honest,
law-abiding
citizens is going to stop crime, that's not going to happen. You know, the criminal is going to have his gun. They get most of these guns. They're stolen. They're going to find their guns. They're going to have their guns.
And Wicked Heart's going to find some way to do a wicked deed, regardless of what we do. I've said many times,
right,
Don, if we were to confiscate all weapons, all guns, somebody's going to use a club as Cain in killing Abel. Somebody's going to use a knife or run over them on the sidewalk with an automobile. There's a wickedness in the heart. But Don, we think about and what you just said, and that is so contrary to what was said by the some of the politicians that were interviewed immediately after the shooting yesterday. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 401-1413. You get 401-1413, gets you straight through to the microphone in the studio. We can have dialogue and discussion. Love to have your view on this that we're speaking about today. Love to have your questions that you can join in this dialogue and discussion. But Don, yesterday immediately after the shooting, before anything was known, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this was before any conclusions were drawn by Mike Williams and the Sheriff's Department, before any findings were determined about who the shooter was or what had taken place. Channel 4, I watched the interviews of Channel 4, Channel 30, and 47 as they were interviewing different ones. And all three of them interviewed Reginald Gaffney, which is the district councilman for that area that covers that area. And Reginald Gaffney, in his interview, and now this is before any findings were made. This is before they knew that the man was from Baltimore. This is before they knew who he was, anything. Here's something, some of the things, four or five little poignant statements that Reginald Gaffney made. How did I know he made those statements? I had note in hand and pen and paper in hand, and I made notes of his interview. And Don, this is what he said. He said, this, speaking of the shooting, this is caused by people that's left out of society. This is caused by people, referring to the killer, just getting frustrated with life and take other people's lives. He went on to say, we must do something about guns in Jacksonville. He went on to say then, we perhaps need to have our city council do some kind of gun control in our city. Further, he says, Jacksonville needs to have a discussion about so many guns in our city. Now, Don, I find that egregious, that before you know what happened, how it happened, or why it happened, immediately you're jumping to gun control. Immediately you're jumping to the fact that it must be an ethnic problem and or a particular community problem, rather than looking at it as somebody's gone bonkers, as the truth is that the man lost the video game and stood up and started shooting those that are his opponents in the game. So speak to that issue, Don, and how left-wing offhanded this is for a politician to make that kind of statement.
Well, this seems to be the Democratic way. The Democrats, first thing they do is come up with take the guns away. And Reggie, I know Reggie. I know him very well. Reggie supported the human rights ordinance. Reggie tries to push everything to a ethnic problem. Mm-hmm. That people are disenfranchised and need to act out to get what they want. This is not what our city needs. We do not need people acting out and blaming everybody else for their problem. We need to work together. We need to families and parents to take control of their own homes and take control of their own community. We need to band together against crime as citizens. And we have a problem with a group of people that will not talk to the police, will not give them the information they need. Even though it was bad situation yesterday at the landing, I noticed the police said, well, they're getting a lot of information. Everybody they talked to was free with information. Of course, these were people from out of town and didn't know anybody locally, probably, or not many people. They were free with information. And I compare that with what I heard from the shooting on Friday night at the football station. They are having a hard time getting information from bystanders, people that were right there in the stands and in the area where the shooting took place. So you have a problem with communication, getting information when a crime is committed. You have people that I'm sure a lot of it is fear. I'm sure that we have, and I know that we have a gang problem in Jacksonville. Now, and this is completely different than the issue that took place at the landing, but it still goes back to a morality problem. It still goes back to the Bible not being taught in the home, not being taught at school, the Bible not being a source of information that is allowed to educate the young people of our community. The education that they're getting in is really not even real history anymore. I mean, current day history, and it's geared in one direction. So, until we start educating the young people of our community of God's way of life, God's laws, start with the Ten Commandments. They're all set out there. Our country was founded on these principles, these godly principles and godly laws. So, we got to get it back in the schools. We got to get back in City Hall.
Yes, you touched on that about our kids not being taught the Bible. In fact, many are brought up in, of course, Christless homes. Many are brought up in homes where there's a single parent because of so much divorce. Many are brought up in homes where the Bible doesn't even exist. And this is the reason I'm so encouraged by a group here in our city called Educators for Life. Educators for Life that are now circulating petitions. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have the opportunity, sign the petition. They're circulating a petition that would allow the city of Jacksonville, Duval County Schools, if the petitions are gained enough so it could be on the ballot for next spring, so that we could get the school board here in Duval County to allow Bible to be taught as a subject again. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is not something new. The state of Georgia was the first state to introduce that on the state level. Just in May, the state of Kentucky, Governor Bevin signed the bill allowing it to be taught in the state of Kentucky. There are five states, I believe, and about 10 or 15 other states considering it. And I do know from the state level, Don, that we have several legislators that I've had the privilege to interview, and they're talking about introducing it as a bill from the state level in spring of next year to allow the Bible to be taught in public schools as an elective. An elective could be selected in any of the subject disciplines so that the Bible can once again be taught. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it is constitutional. It is not unconstitutional for the Bible to be in the classroom. So don't let anybody bamboozle you or bully you and tell you that that can't be done. It can be done. In 1963, when the Supreme Court ruled that the Bible cannot be taught from a teacher's perspective, where the teacher can enforce biblical rules, et cetera, they had a footnote to that ruling that stated that this in no wise would be saying that the Bible is illegal in the classroom. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get Bible back in the classroom, and I believe that would go a long way of solving some of these problems we're talking about today, Don, about the students going wild and society going wild, where they just get angry at a video game and shoot somebody.
Yes, and you mentioned legislation. Kimberly Daniels, a legislator, Democratic legislator in Tallahassee, representing Duval, part of Duval County, just got a legislation passed that says that every school has to have "In God We Trust" on the wall of their school.
Our state motto on the walls of the schools,
yes.
"In God We Trust."
So it can be done.
Yes.
So she pushed that through and got it through a legislature and through the Senate, and it's law.
Yeah, she worked with Senator Baxley, and Senator Baxley is an avid Christian, and Senator Baxley and Kimberly Daniels sponsored and co-sponsored the bill, and I believe this is needed now on a state level, but Educators for Life, look that up, Educators for Life, and they're getting the petition circulated now. But Don, beyond just Reginald Gaffney being interviewed immediately after this took place and jumping to conclusions, wild way out conclusions, and the first thing he wanted to do was ban guns, and trying to claim the city council needs to do that. Well, the city council has no authority. The city council has no business in trying to ban weapons and take in hand and remove our federal constitutional liberties under the Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment. But that was bad enough. But then we had Congressman Al Lawson. Al Lawson represents the 5th District from the congressional district standpoint for the Jacksonville area. And Al Lawson was interviewed, and when he was interviewed, immediately he said, "We need to get the federal government involved in Jacksonville," a very bold statement. He went on to say, "We need to get more funding for the mentally ill in our city. We need to do something about guns in our city." Don, speak to this unusual statement, this irrational statement by these professional politicians on the left, where immediately they want to jump to conclusions that the first thing we need to do is ban a gun.
Yeah, well, it's a shame that we have politicians, on a federal level that would come up with gun control as a solution to all the problems, or putting money into it. You know, he wants the federal government to put money into controlling our guns and controlling our rights. As a Christian, as a conservative Republican, I want less government in my life. I want less government in my constituents' life.
So you're saying, Don, for the benefit of our listeners in these few minutes we've got left, are you saying that when elected as city councilman, you will stand against these irrational, unusual, ungodly philosophies that these two have spoken of?
I would stand against those philosophies, yes. And our ex-Mayor Brown came up with the same solutions, basically. He did nothing while he was our mayor for 4 years. And to think that he has an idea now that controlled crime, it's ridiculous.
Let me just wrap up some thoughts. We've got about a minute and a half left, ladies and gentlemen, of this broadcast. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing Don Redmond. That is the fourth group at large for the city council member here in Jacksonville. He is running citywide. It's Don Redmond. Don Redmond is an avid Christian, loves the Lord, will stand for truth, and will take a stand for the issues that we're talking about today. Don, the facts are, in relationship to this killer, this assassin, he was from Baltimore, Florida, Baltimore, Maryland. His name is David Katz, 24 years old. Those killed were not even from our city. That doesn't minimize their deaths. He was not a crazy. He was not a fanatic. He just got furious because he lost a video game and retaliated against those that were present. So, Don, for Reginald Gaffney and Al Lawson to say what they said, what this would necessitate if they implemented what they have said, then we'd have to set up roadblocks at the perimeters of Duval County, and we'd have to search every car and confiscate every weapon, because the weapon that this man shot with came in from Baltimore, Maryland. He was from Maryland. He was not from Florida. He was not from Jacksonville. Those that were attending the video games, for the most part, were not from Jacksonville, so it's not a Jacksonville problem. It's a problem of the heart. It's a problem of lostness. It's a problem of not knowing Christ. It's a problem of what I simply call a sin problem and a heart problem. And we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to the basics. I'm not talking about having a theocratic form of government. I'm talking about having God as the centrality of what we do. So don't take the next moment. We got about a minute. share with our listeners what they can do to help you in the election process. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think I'm passionate about this, you're exactly right. If you think that I believe that we need to put Don Redmond back in office, you're exactly right. So, Don, tell our listeners what they can do to assist you in this race for city council. And the primary for city council is not until next March, but they need to get on board now in assisting you in this race.
Well, thank you, Brother Gene. And this is very important for our city to put people in office that have the right moral values. But I need help in getting in office. I need and you can go to my website, www.voteforDonRedmond.com, or contact me by email, donredmond@att.net, or you can call me. My cell phone number, 626-9307. Area code 904. So I accept calls anytime, but I need people to call me and get involved with my campaign. I need people that are willing to go door to door or hold up a sign. Our election is not until March of next year. It's a little bit confusing right now because we have a state election, but as soon as this is over with, we'll be into the new year. March of next year is the primary for the city elections. So Don Redmond for city council at large, group 4, give me a call, contact me, come by and see me. I have a business. I'm a small businessman. I'm on Belfort Road, 2760 Belfort Road. So be glad to see you. Need your help. We need godly people in office.
Amen.
Not just me, but others too.
So, Don, one of the final things that we'll say today is that we need to put God back in the classroom. We need to put God back in society. But more than that, even overshadowing that, we need to turn back to God as a nation. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And Don, that's what we need today.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.